And the first thing that you must know concerning the Holy Ghost baptism is that he is a person. Once you've understood that, it is not an it, it is not an emotion, it is not a feeling. He is he. That is the primary thing that you must emphatically impress upon an individual when you're discussing the Holy Ghost baptism with them. He is not an it. He is not a feeling. He is God. And he has chosen you, to come and dwell in. And I want to cover that thought tonight. I told you some specifics this morning, just in recap and summary. First of all, I showed you that he has a mind. Doesn't he have a mind?
Yes.
And that without him, the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you cannot know. It is impossible for you to know the things of God. Did we see that? Yes, we did. Impossible. For the spirit of man cannot understand the things of God. And then we saw that he prays for us. And that the difference between Old Testament prayer and New Testament prayer is what? Tongues. Holy Ghost prayer. Now you can pray just like they did in the Old Testament in your understanding. And I'm not saying it won't do the thing that you send it forth to do. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the difference in an Old Testament prayer and New Testament prayer is tongues. And it's the Holy Ghost getting down inside of you and having prayer meetings. I like him to get down inside of me when I'm praying and have prayer meetings. There is nothing quite like praying in the Holy Ghost to build up my most precious faith. That's what the Bible says. If you want to be built up, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, we'll touch more about the prayer aspect of it, but we saw that. And then what was the third point? He has a will. He has a will. And his will is to give you the gift. Is that right? He wills to give you the gift, and you can't get those gifts unless you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we saw three aspects of the Holy Ghost teaching this morning that you need to know. Anytime you teach somebody, share with somebody, talk with somebody concerning the Holy Ghost, those are three very, very important factors that you need to impress upon them. He is a person. Now, he does personal acts. Or he performs acts in a personal way. And I want to give you these. I've got a list of 10 of them. And I'll put them on the tape. And I'm going to hear again. I'm not doing this right now to expressly teach you about the Holy Ghost. Most of you have been baptized, or some of you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost longer than I've been breathing. So it's right now not a time of trying to teach you about the Holy Ghost, but it's putting it on this tape as one of my primary purposes so that we can give this away. So that when somebody needs the baptism or the understanding of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can hand it to them. Some of you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I'm starting at ground level, and I'm building it up, just like you don't know a thing about it. So bear with me. If some of these things are not interesting to you, hang on. I'll promise you, I'll get there. Personal acts are performed by him. Number one, he works. He is a worker. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it says he worketh. And what it's talking about him working there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, who can tell me what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about? The gifts. He works the gifts. And buddy, I'll guarantee you, it's work sometimes to make Pentecostals move in the gifts. He's about got to pick you up and throw you down and do your body slam on you to make you give a message in tongues. Am I right? It's work. I know. It's work, but he worketh. So the first one is that he works. And number two, he searches. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says he searches all things. Everybody say all. All things. Even the deep things of God. Thank you. So if you want to know the deep things of God, what you got to have? The Holy Ghost baptism. Do you see that? All right. Third thing. He speaks. Let's look at this, and this is interesting. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we're going to send somebody out to be missionaries. And you know who's going to send them? The Holy Ghost. Let's back up to verse 1, Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was also called, and I won't say that, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now that Saul is the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He said. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Ghost said. He can speak. But what is he going to speak through? Does he just come down out of the clouds of glory, open up the ceiling, and say, hey! No. He's going to speak through your mouth. And I'll guarantee you it is work for him sometimes to get you to do it. But he worketh. Now he spoke here. And then the next one is number four. He calls men into his service. And what he said in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, he said, separate. What is the life of Christianity? Separation. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So he calls men to his service, or to the service of God, or to the service of Christ. I don't care how you talk about it. It's the same thing. He calls them into service. He said something, and he calls them in. Now, do you believe that God still does that today? Does he still call ministry?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you then. There are certain ones of you sitting under the sound of my voice who I could lay hands on you right now and prophesy and tell you what God called you to do. And it's not what you're doing right now. Now, immediately these men took heed to that word and followed up with what the Holy Ghost had said. But I guarantee you today, if I was to do what I feel like some of is calling in some of your lives, it'd take you 5 years to believe that it was of God. But it's the same Holy Ghost. And if there's a Christ in me, then there's a prophet, a priest, and a king in me. And these prophets right here were the ones that said the things that the Holy Ghost said. All I'm simply saying is we need to listen more to the Lord. Now let me say this while it's on my mind. I want to, pretty quickly, it's according on how labored we are with this teaching at the point, but I want to get a specific microphone set someplace in the front. And when we develop to the place and we grow to the place where we have a word of knowledge or a word of ministry or a prophetic utterance or whatever, then we will come to that microphone and give it. Now, a couple of reasons. One, the main reason, I want it on tape so I can give it to the person in which it is given. Now, I have had some powerful words upon my life. I've only got one of them on tape. And if I was to play it for you now, tell you the state that I was in when it was given to me, and the state that I'm in now, and describe to you what has happened in that year and 10 months. It would utterly astound you because every facet of it has come to be. One of the words that I don't have on tape went like this. And it shook me up on the inside. I stood there just flabbergasted on the outside, hands dangling to my side because I couldn't believe what I was hearing the prophet of God speak over me, was that I would know the word as the Apostle Paul. Now, I can see some of that transpiring right now in my life. Now, the other one that I'm talking about that I have on tape just simply tells me something like this. Be not rooted so deeply that you cannot be raised up and moved. But I've moved. Not only in the natural, but in my spirit have I moved. And I went on with the Lord. Told me that Pharisees would rise up against me. They rose. Many, many things that the word of the Lord says through his prophets, through the lips of his prophets, through the Holy Ghost, will influence their words of life. And we need to have a microphone put someplace where we can put this so you'll if it's true prophecy, it will happen. And you can take that thing and it'll be a word of direction in your life. And so I really want to get to that point in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that we can have a microphone and have a ministry in that maturity, that it can actually be. Now, another reason that I want to do it is that right now, you could stand up any place. You could be back there in the bathroom, and you could give a word of prophecy, and we could all hear you. But what happens when we're 1,000? And what happens when we're in a sanctuary 20 times this big? You see, half of them won't know what's said. So we need to train ourselves right now to flow in this manner, to flow where what we are saying and knowing that it's words of life, that it can really minister and accomplish the thing that it's set forth to do. Do you agree with that? Good. All right. So he calls men to service. Number 5, he directs men in service. That's in Acts 16, 6 through 7. And right there what it's talking about is that they were forbidden, Paul and Silas, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go into a certain area. And then in the 7th verse, Acts 16, 6 and 7, it said again, that it suffered them not to go there. So the Holy Ghost, I've showed you how it will lead you into the wilderness, but it will also keep you from going into some wildernesses that you shouldn't go in. So it leads you, it directs you, it gives you direction. And number 6, as he testifies in John 15, 26. You can read that, it's simple enough. Number 7, as he teaches. That's in John 14, 26. He teaches all things. Now, these are simple things, and I know most of you have heard all of this before. But bear with me. Number 8, is he reproved? John 16, 8 through 11. Now, that word reprove means convict. Have you ever done something, and something on the inside of you told you it was wrong? Well, can I tell you what that something was? Is the Holy Ghost talking to you? You idiot, he said. What'd you do that for? He has a convicting power. And he'll come at you and he'll convict you. He'll reprove you. He wants you to do right. And if you keep doing it, I'll guarantee you'll get hardened in that area and he'll stop dealing with you in that area. And then you're going to have to deal with the Father. Because if you're a son, you're going to get whipped. Keep on doing it. He'll deal with you. But he's going to convict you first. He's going to get after you first. He reproves. Number 9. He guides us into truth. And it says there in John 16, 13. I've already done that one. Seems like I have. He guides us into all truth. Number 10 is he prays, and I touched that this morning. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And remember what the Jerusalem Bible said. It said the Spirit himself expresses our plea in a way that could never be put into words. And you can pray in the natural, but until you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're not really in New Testament prayer. And right now, many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you're not utilizing your prayer time to its fullest potential because you're not expressing yourself in the Spirit. You're not allowing Him to come from within you and express the utterings and the groanings from deep within you in your prayer language. Am I right? And a Holy Ghost prayer meeting is when the Holy Ghost prays in you. And some of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and never pray in tongues. Now you need to do something about that. I'm opening this thing up to you a little bit. Hope he's convicting you right now. Part of what he does. Now, the second point that I want to get tonight is he can receive personal treatment. He is a person, and he can receive personal treatment. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 9. I'll make you turn to something so you won't go to sleep on me. Acts chapter 5. Now, I shared this in depth with the Wednesday night group when we done Acts chapter 5. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. And what you'll read here, let's look at verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Can you lie to that person sitting beside you? Sure you can. You can also lie to the Holy Ghost. But what happened when they lied to the Holy Ghost? He struck them. Peter didn't strike them. He didn't touch them. He was just the prophet, the instrument that was utilized in that. Now, what if you lied to the Holy Ghost and God used me in the same fashion that he used Peter? You'd sue me. Or your spouse would, or maybe that's why he got a spouse too, I don't know. But he got Ananias and Sapphira. And there was never another word mentioned in the Bible talking about the actions in which Peter took concerning this matter. All right? And verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit? He can be tempted. He can be lied to. He can be tempted. He's a person. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. He's not an it. He's not an emotion. He's not a feeling. He's not goosebumps up and down your back. He's a person. And he's just as alive as that person sitting next to you is. And I'll tell you something else. He's closer to you than that person sitting next to you is. The person sitting beside you might wash your socks. That person in you knows your deepest intent. That's close. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. And if you'll read that chapter right there, you'll find out what it's really talking about. Is when you talk about people, when you give place to the devil, when your lifestyle, your conversation, King James says, that means your lifestyle, does not add up, you're grieving the Holy Ghost. Now, when your lifestyle, when you talk about people, when you do the things that Ephesians 4, right in there, is talking about, you're grieving me. You see, I can't handle those things. And any baptized Holy Ghost, tongue-talking believer that is really seeking after the Lord and wants the Lord's will done, he can't handle those things either. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Number 4. He can be resisted. Acts 7:51. Let's go there. I'm going to get into some of my thunder for Wednesday night, but I don't care. Some of you won't be here, and I'll just do it 2 times. How many of you know people who literally resist the Holy Ghost? They say it's of the devil. They say, you're crazy. It's not for today. It was for 2,000 years ago. And it might be for you people down there at 703 North Main Street, but it's not for us people in the middle of the city up here. I'm fixing to show you something. I'm fixing to show you that people that resist the Holy Ghost, what Stephen says about them. Now, I'll be all over this again Wednesday night. Look at verse 51. That'll be good enough. Stephen says to the Sanhedrin, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, he says this, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always what? Resist the Holy Ghost." And those people that say those things are doing the same thing, no different. They do always resist the Holy Ghost. And the primary thing that Stephen is being on trial here for, the primary thing, there was actually three, but the primary thing was for preaching the temple of God is you. And one of the primary things that the Lord Jesus was on trial for was preaching that the holy temple is you. And they crucified Jesus, and they stoned Stephen. What makes you think you're going to get out of it if you preach it? But the people who do always resist the Holy Ghost are not the lost. It's the religious world. It's Babylon. And when you can finally decide that Babylon is not some city that some antichrist is going to build over yonder somewhere, but that Babylon is a spirit and it's all around you and could be in you, when you finally decide that, and you see that Babylon is right up there on Main Street, and it's the people in Babylon who are going to throw stones at you, who want to crucify you, who want to beat your back, as they did the apostles. Now, they're not going to take rods and do it, but you watch their tongues. When you hear the fullness of my message, Babylon will beat you. They'll want to crucify you. They'll want to stone you. Fact. Mark it down, underline this on the tape. I know what I'm talking about. They always do resist the Holy Ghost. I'll do this Wednesday night. So you Wednesday nighters, I'm sorry. I'm going to do it again. But go to Revelations chapter 18. Me and Stephen, we have been living together for the past 2 weeks. My wife liked to left me, but me and Stephen's been together. Exaggeration. I want to show you a scripture that literally, now I'm not talking figuratively, this scripture changed my life. And if you'll hear it, it'll change yours. Look at chapter 18. And if you know anything about the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapter 18 is about Babylon. I'll just start with verse 3. Let me give you some traditional stuff first. And I'll show you why it changed my life. Tradition says that the church will be raptured and that an antichrist someplace over there will construct a temple, and then he will construct a city, and that city will be called Babylon, and his world system will be called in Babylon. But the church is gone. Is that what tradition basically teaches? Yes or no? All right. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her, speaking of Babylon, fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich from the abundance of her delicacies, Halloween and Easter and Christmas. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of who? Babylon. Who come out of her? They're raptured. It changed my life. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not what? I thought the plagues were coming on the world. I thought all these plagues that the book of Revelation talks about are coming on the world. Who are they coming on? Babylon. And if you're a part of her, allow that to get in you tonight. Spit it out if you don't want it. But it's the Word of God. Now, I'll explain a whole lot of what I've said over the next several weeks. And that really come out of me before I should have let it, maybe. But you got to see, there are people resisting the Holy Ghost, and they're Babylon. And they do always resist the Holy Ghost. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you can bring them right to today. Pharisees, legalistic people, look right, act right, do right, talk right. All outward. And Jesus told them, you're a whitewashed sepulcher. And you're full of what? Dead man's bones. Do you see why it's so important that I want people here? I can't backtrack every time. And I don't miss, I know some of you can't get here. I'm not doing that now. I'm not being condemnational. But some can be here and they're not. I want to make sure you understand. Some of you work and some of you just can't, and I understand that. But some can and aren't. And that bothers me. I'd rather you be here picking the hair out of your nose. Okay. Back to Acts. I promise you I'll make all of this clearer to you. But Babylon does always resist the Holy Ghost. Always. And Stephen says that they're uncircumcised of heart and of ears. And the Pharisees, let me finish that thought. The Pharisees were your legalists. Look right, act right, do right. It's all outward. They prayed long prayers. They paid their tithes. They were at church every meeting. They done all of the things that religious people do. They extended the borders of their garments. Now I'm going to say something, and I'm not going to offend y'all. Don't let me offend you now. I'm just giving you some thoughts. They wanted everybody to know that they were a Pharisee. And so they extended the borders of their garments so they could dress like Pharisees. Now, if these things that I'm fixing to say is done in the correct attitude, there is nothing wrong with them. But if people do them simply to let people know that I am a Christian, it is nothing but a Pharisee spirit, and it's all outward. Ken Oliver was here painting the nursery the other day. Two people walked up wanting money. He brought them over to the parsonage where I was at studying. They had crosses dangling all over them. I mean, buddy, she had them on her ears. She had them around her neck. He had them around his neck. And I won't tell you all that I said to them. But they had a lot of things else upon their being that was not Christian. Jesus buttons, bumper stickers, are nothing more to some people, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, to some people, nothing more than a Pharisee spirit. I'm a Christian. Now, if it's done in the right attitude, don't you let me offend you, because I don't mean to. But I see a lot of people, you can go to the club Saturday night and you'll find bumper stickers saying, Jesus is Lord. And go in there and they'll have crucifix hanging around their necks. And you go to them with church on Sunday morning and they'll have Jesus button on their lapel. Now you tell me that's different than a Pharisee. That's a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. What about the Sadducees? Well, they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Nothing spiritual. I don't want none of that woo stuff. No miracles. That's the Pharisees. That's the Sadducees. very liberal people. You know, won't save dollars, sir. Very liberal. I can do whatever I want. Now, this is the religious people who crucified your Lord. This is the religious people that beat the backs of the apostles. This is the religious people that stoned the deacon servant Stephen. How many servants have I got in here? Raise your hand. Stephen was a deacon. And they stoned him to death. Who did? The uncircumcised of heart and ears. Those that did always resist the Holy Ghost. Not the lost. The lost world don't care if you talk in tongues. Just leave them alone. The lost world don't care if you get people baptized in the Holy Ghost and tell them that he wants to dwell in here. Who does? The modern day Pharisees and the modern day Sadducees. Because they do always resist the Holy Ghost. Am I right? You know I'm right. And I'm telling you, when we get on the radio in full blast, now we're going to start easy. But when we get full blast in this thing, do you know who's going to be throwing rocks? Do you know who's going to be whipping you with their tongues? Okay. So you can see what I'm telling you is going to happen. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Now you can be like them, and you can go to the nurseries of Lafayette and be babies all the rest of your Christian life. Or you can come here and grow up some. Well, I better get off of that. Number five. He can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29. I won't get on that one. And number six. He can be blasphemed. How many want me to get on that one? He can be blasphemed. Who's heard of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Very controversial scripture. There again, all you really need to understand about it is that there are Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Pharisees were the ones that were really condemning Jesus at this point. If you back up to verse 24, let me give you the scripture reference on that. We won't turn to it. Matthew 12:31-32. But if you back up to that, to verse 24, you'll find the setting of that whole chapter. And what is all he talking about there is they're attributing the works of the Holy Ghost, the works of Jesus Christ, to Beelzebub, and I'll just say the devil, is actually the god of flies, if you want to look it up. He's the fly god. But I'll just say the devil. They were attributing the works of the Holy Ghost to the devil. Now, I have searched the scriptures, and I really got into this one time. I wanted to know what the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. And I can only find one unpardonable sin in the scriptures. And you'll find that in Revelation 14:13, which is simply stated the mark of the beast. And now you've been enlightened on that. Those that have taken the mark of the beast, you see, will be attributing those works to the devil. All right? Somebody's healed right here by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's raised up and healed. What's Babylon going to say? Are they going to really say that there was a miracle wrought and the Holy Ghost did it? Or will they more than likely say, well, that's coincidence? You see, I don't want to lighten this at all, but it really speaks of a continual action and a continuation of blasphemy, of attributing the works of the Holy Ghost to something else other than what it is. That's what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. And the unpardonable sin that I have found in the Bible is the mark of the beast. For those that have received that mark in its fullness and its entirety, there is no forgiveness. And when your mind is so corrupt, remember when we talked about the mark of the beast? 666, the fullness of man in his most decrepit state. There is a place where God will give you up. There is a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, an unpardonable place that you can get with God. Now that's heavy. It's a little different probably than what you've heard before. Now, let me close. Primary thought I really want you to get tonight, and I feel this of the Spirit because it was not in my notes in the depth that I took it. But you need to understand that the religious world, is what's going to throw stones at you and beat you, not the lost world. And in school, kids, listen to me, kids, for a change today. In school, your religious friends are the ones who are going to talk about you most when you try to live the life that Christ dictates that you live. The lost people, they really don't care. Because you see, the ones that you'll be condemning and making feel bad are those who think it's okay to do this or okay to do that and go to church over here on Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday rather, and then do whatever they want to do during the week. You condemn those people because they know they're living a lie. And they're the ones who are going to talk about you the most. You'll make an influence. You're a light to the lost. You're salt to corruption. But to the Babylon, they're the ones that wants to beat you and stone you and crucify you. And I feel that of the Lord tonight. You need to know that. You say, Jesus says it this way in one place. The way of the lost is broad. And now he's not just talking about the lost sinner, okay? He's talking about Babylon. Babylon's going to burn, folks. And that way is broad, he said. And many, how many? Many are going to go that way. It's easy. But you're learning now already in 9 weeks' time. You're learning how narrow, and it's getting narrower and narrower and narrower. How narrow the way is unto him. Making sense, isn't it? It's a life of separation. Abraham separated seven times. You're going to separate seven times. You're going to be able to look back in your life, just like Abraham, separate. But as long as you keep building your altars and getting your revelations, you'll get your promise. And what's your promise? What's your promise? This city. Okay. Let me close with this one. Let's go to the book of John. Have you learned anything today? Book of John, 14th chapter. And I'll only pick on the 23rd verse here. Judy, so. John chapter 14. Subject of John chapter 14 is the Father. The word Father is written some 24 times. And in verse 23, what I want you to see here, that this person, the Spirit, is the Spirit of the Father and the Son dwelling in you. If you have to define the Holy Ghost, what he is to somebody, you explain it this way. It is the presence of the Father and the Son in you. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, not just me, not just the Father, not just the Son, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Abode with him. How many? We. Two. Father, Son, making their abode in you. Do you see that? So the Holy Ghost then, the Comforter, and we're going to look at some 48 different terms that's given to him in the Bible and the Scriptures, talking about the same Holy Ghost, but when you can finally see that it is the presence of the Father and the Son dwelling in you, it'll end a whole lot of confusion. Now, I won't. Let me stay on my thought here. So if it's the Father and the Son dwelling in you, and the Bible says then that God is love, where is love? In you. And it says that Jesus Christ is a prophet. Where is the prophet? And it says that Jesus Christ is a king. Where is that king? And it says that Jesus Christ is a priest. Then where is that priest? And it says that God is a consuming fire. Where is that fire? And he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And it says God is peace. Where is peace? Do you see my point? All that the Father is now resident in your life. It's not something that will happen one day. It is happening now. He is molding you and making you, not from some exterior force, but from an interior power that's dwelling within you. It's the Father and it's the Son in you, molding you from within, straightening out your crooked places, burning out of you the junk, making you into the very image of His Son. And He is creating a body of believers in this day who are conforming themselves unto the very nature, unto the very stature, unto the very fullness of Christ. And the word Christ means the anointed. And there were three anointed. I've taught you this. Prophet, priest, king. Then the prophet, priest, king in you is the anointing. And what you need to do is release that ministry now. All that the king does is in you. All that the king is in you. What is he? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Gifts of the Spirit. Tongues, interpretations, and prophecies. Healing, miracles, faith. Gifts of discernment. Words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Where's all that at? In you. He's working. Remember we looked at the scripture? He's working. Where's he working? In you. And he wants to bring these things out. They're there. And all he wants to do is when he calls upon one of them, one of those gifts, he wants you to perform it. And when we can finally get that in our thick heads, it ain't out here trying to get in. It's already in, and he wants it to come out. You're a cloud. Pour yourself out. You're a minister. That means a dispenser. Pour yourself out. Paul says, we are able ministers. That simply means a pitcher. You're able pitchers. You're able to be poured out. All that I'm putting in you, pour it out to somebody. Do you hear me? And God wants to raise up a people today. He can mold them and make them into the very image of His Son. And what He's doing and using to mold you and to make you is the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need Him. And you need Him in His fullness. And I really want the mind of God right now. I really do. I'm torn whether to wait and give the altar call for the receiving of the Holy Ghost baptism or to wait.
Because there's so much more. You that do not have the Holy Ghost, I won't have you come down tonight. But I need to know that I'm getting in you. I need to know that I'm getting through. You who have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you that have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but through today's messages, through this morning's and through tonight, you are beginning to see a brand new necessity and a brand new awareness of this thing and a brand new importance in your life. I need you to raise your hand. Would you raise your hand? Okay. Good. I want this to minister to you, and I want this to minister to the people that hear it. And now I want to say something else. Every head bowed, eyes closed. Some of you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know that you have. There was a time in your life when you flowed in the tongues of the Spirit. But for some reason, you may not even know why. You're not flowing in that now. Something has quenched, as it is, the Spirit. And you need, and you know you need, from what I've said today, you know, and what the Spirit has said to you, and what the Word has said to you, you know you need to get to back into the flow of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible speaks of it as a flow, for out of your belly shall flow. You haven't been using the gifts that God's given you. You haven't been praying in the Spirit. You haven't been using your heavenly language at all. And you know you need to get back into the flow of this thing. You're seeing the importance of it. I need you to raise your hand. Amen. All right. That's enough. I don't need to pray for you. The Holy Ghost has done His work. He's convicted it. He's shown you. And now it's up to you to bring forth the gifts that are within you. I desire tongues in our services. I'll make it perfectly clear. I desire prophecies. Don't wait on me all the time. I desire interpretations. I desire words of wisdom. I desire words of knowledge. I desire discerning of spirits. I desire miracles. I desire faith, and I desire healings. Some of you have those callings, and since I've been here, you have, as it is, held back the Spirit in your life. You've plugged up the wells. And I could right now take you to the book of Genesis and show you where Isaac dug wells, and the Philistines come along and plug those wells up with the carcasses of dead animals. And I could preach to you a sermon about how the flesh plugs your well up so that those gifts, that water, cannot come forth. But I don't think I need to. I think I just did. I desire them. Now, you do it. And then if it's out of order, I'll let you know. And I won't embarrass you. But do not resist the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Do not associate yourself with Babylon. Get that tonight. Amen. You can look at me. Now, honestly, I didn't know this was going to be this powerful. I didn't know. I really felt like these first couple of messages were just going to be stuff, sand, you know, just stuff that we've already come through. And half of what I'm saying is not in my notes. So I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is in this. Amen. Now you that know you're desiring and needing the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you begin to seek it. Because when I bring you down here, I'm instructing you upon it. And when I bring you down here, I lay my hands on you. I want you to talk in tongues. That's all they've done in the New Testament. They explained it. They taught it. They laid hands on them. They backed off and watched it happen. And if you get it before I get to lay hands on you, well, praise God. All right? But you begin seeking it. And if he just fills you up at work or driving down the road or in your prayer closet, that won't hurt my feelings. I want to hear about it. And you that have said, you have plugged up your well, clean it out. Get the dead flesh out of that thing. And let's have some gifts in here. Amen. Don't wait on me, okay? Because one day we're not going to be 70. There's no way I'll be able to minister to all those people. And you may have a word for somebody that will change their life. Amen. Let's stand. All right, next Sunday, you be prepared. And don't get mad at me. Because the majority of what I'll be saying to you, you'll be able to get out of the world book. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at Christmas. Amen. You love me?
Amen.
How many are glad God brought me from Griffin? How many want me to go back? I ought to ask you that next Sunday night. I need to see the men. Father, we love you. And we are understanding in a more better way the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, not just his ministry and the gifts, but his ministry within us. And how he is drawing and wooing a people in this hour, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Oh, hallelujah. A people that God can call his own. A people that God can dwell in. A temple that God can come and inhabit for now on. A people that is building him a city. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Go with us now. Bless these homes.